Everybody, everyone doing okay? All right. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, yeah. I don't hear anything out there. That was a rhetorical question. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And we need to look alive in here. God, please, yeah. Y'all looking like my patients. I'm a physical therapist, but you don't know, you know? And when I come into the room, like at 9 a.m., my patients are like, oh no, it's William again. Because they know what I want, and I want them to get out of bed. And you know, it's a blessing to get out of bed on our own, you know, two feet, by our own strength, and here by our own will. And it's just a blessing to be in God's house, you know? So it's just good to see all of you guys here. And don't worry, we're not going to spend the whole next hour just praying, you know, silently. We're going to, you know, mix up a little bit, okay? And I just want to start off by talking about this. It just helps me keep focused because I kind of get distracted real easily. You know, Dr. Hibbs has taught us a lot of stuff, you know. And honestly, you know, my life, you know, being a therapist, being a husband, a father of two young kids, I mean, my life is constantly busy. You guys know what I mean? You know, just being busy. And, you know, I think yesterday, Carol and I had the youngest kid, you know, in childcare. There were a couple of older kids in there. And, you know, but that's all right. You know, it takes all of us to make a church. So I just want to say about Dr. Hibbs, I just love listening to his southern drawl. I mean, it just makes me relax. Does it make you relax? You know, I love his relaxed, you know, southern drawl. And so I think that's why we brought him in here, to help us relax, to get ready for revival, or get ready for prayer. So thank you, Dr. Hibbs, for preparing us for this prayer time. And, you know, I'm part of the Sugarland and Paraland Fellowship that meets on a monthly basis. We've been studying the book of Philippians with Pastor Matt Chandler. Thank you, Gary. And one of the things that we learned last month about church, so Gary, feel free to correct me if I don't get this right, but Matt Chandler, he's a pastor up in Dallas. He's like a 37-year-old pastor. I mean, he looks a lot like Pastor Justin, young and energetic, who loves God's word. And he said this, you know, at church, you know, we learn a lot about the what, and we get a lot of good information at church, but we're not very good at asking and answering the question of how and when. So what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, I mean, just think about, you know, right now, you know, in revival, you know, Pastor Tripp has taught us a lot about revival so far, a lot of good information. Like today, I love this summer, you know, receiving God's love, repentance, and then revival. I mean, it sounds like a good formula, right? And I love his analogy yesterday about getting the altar in order, you know, like Elijah got the altar ready for God to do his thing. You know, is our altar, you know, in order? And also that little cloud that was rising up in the sky, you know, and as each day went on, that cloud got bigger and bigger. And that's like us. Your revival happens step by step. It doesn't happen all at once. And you know, everything here at CBC, you know, I've been here 26 years by the grace of God. I love this church. I don't plan to go anywhere. And in these 26 years, I learned this about this church. I mean, we've got some wonderful, loving people in this church. That's what's kept me here, because I love the people here. And I think as the years have gone by, I know this, you know, we've gotten more busy as a church, you know. We didn't have email back in 1984. Well, I think we had it, but we just didn't use it. I don't know. But you know, life is just so much busy nowadays. You know, I talk to my friends at work, you know, let's do this. And, oh yeah, I've got this going on. They got a check there, or whatever they check now. It's not Palm Pilots out of date now. Oh, Blackberries. People got Blackberries. You know, I'm so low tech, I still got my old Verizon phone. You know, I just, you know, do simple stuff on it, like call people and get voicemail. That's all I do. And receive texts. I don't know how to text. So I'm a little tech. So we're busy. We're busy. And so what are we going to do with all this good information that Dr. Hibbs is teaching us? Are we going to do like we always do? And again, you know, I'm talking about myself too. I'm guilty too. All the good stuff Pastor Jeff teaches us every Sunday, the stuff that we learned in Sunday school, we just kind of stored away. All the Sunday school notes I've taken all these years from Jeannie Moon's, you know, classes. You know, I've got it stored away neatly somewhere, you know. But you know, we're good at the what? We're good at storing information, but we're not good at applying it. That's why Pastor Matt Chandler challenged us with those questions. As a church, we're good with the what. And yeah, we got a bunch of books and a bunch of Bibles at home. And we have all these nice sermon notes. But as far as the how do we apply what we learn? You know, how are we going to be revived? How are we going to receive God's love if we haven't received God's love already? How are we going to be revived? How are we going to repent? And when? That's the big question. When are we going to do this? You know? So we got to apply this. And that's why I'm looking forward to this prayer time right now. So again, don't be afraid. I know some of you guys might be thinking, oh, I can barely spend 5 minutes at home in prayer. That's what people tell me. I don't have time to spend 5 minutes in prayer. And my response is, you're too busy. Because I've been there. I'm that busy person. And I'll give you an example. You know, my kids at home, in fact, at the last fellowship that I shared with my small group, prayer group, a confession that whenever, you know, Carol and I have devotions with our kids, I tend to rush through those devotions, okay? And so someone said, well, at least you're having devotions. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thankful that I'm having them, but I feel like I'm just rushing through them. You know, I don't take time to discuss it usually, because we're just good at getting them done right before bedtime. We, you know, go through the children's Bible story. We say a quick prayer. Each of us says our standard kind of prayer. And then it's good night, you know. And this is a routine. And I know God just convicted me. Wait, you got to stop that. You know, your devotional life is not just a routine. It should be something very meaningful and something that should be discussed. And so whatever you hear me share this morning about being busy, I mean, I'm there. You know, I'm not blaming anybody. I love how Bum Phillips, the old coach of the Lord, said, if you ever point your finger at someone, remember there's four pointing back at you, okay? So I'm not blaming anybody. And, you know, I'll show a little story. Jonathan, my 8-year-old son, you know, he had a project that was due this week. And he was telling me, oh, Daddy and Mommy, he told us at the last minute, I've got a project due today. It was Tuesday morning, I think it was, right, Carol? Or maybe what? Tuesday morning, and he had a project that talked about, well, you know, describe yourself using a person, using a face. So on this face, you know, draw something about yourself or do whatever, make it artsy, make it crafty, whatever you, my son's not very artsy or crafty. He's very sports, athletic minded. And so, of course, he wants to talk about baseball. You know, Carol got all these round beads and fuzzy things that were round to make it look like baseballs. And then my son said, let's do a song. I want to do a song that describes myself. So I said, well, son, what kind of songs do you like? You know what songs you like. I'm not going to tell you what song because that's for me. You got to tell me a song that you like. And so lately we've been listening a lot to Stephen Curtis Chapman. He chose The Great Adventure. I said, yeah, good song. The Great Adventure is an awesome song. But then what he told me next was just very, very telling about the state of our society. He said to me, Daddy, if I choose The Great Adventure, people are going to make fun of me at school. And I said, Jonathan, how do you know? How do you know they're going to make fun of you at school? I said, has someone made fun of you for being a Christian? He said, no, Daddy. I think they're going to make fun of me because nobody talks about it. Because nobody talks about it. So even in my son's 8-year-old third grade class, you know, he's already beginning to sense that because no one talks about Christian, no one talks about Jesus, then automatically when he starts talking about something Christian, that people are going to make fun of him. I said, son, don't think that way. You know, don't think that way. If someone tells you something, we'll deal with it. But right now, you go with what you like. Well, you know, Great Adventure has too much about Jesus in it. So he chose a Mercy Me song. It's going to be all right. And I love how Mercy Me does it. Ooh, you know it's going to be all right. You know that song? You know, I love how Mercy Me, Bart Millard does it. I can't do it like him. But, you know, that's what that song taught. It's going to be all right because Jesus is in control. And so my son was okay doing that. So I rushed to the computer. I downloaded or, you know, got the lyrics off of Google. I printed for him and gave him the CD. I said, son, this is your assignment. Now go do it. You know, go do it well. And I don't think he did it until Thursday or Friday. And so you're asking me, why is William talking about all this? I'm talking about all this because it matters. You know, our faith matters because, you know, if, you know, for mommies and daddies, if we're not making our faith well at home, if we're not doing the application, we're not asking the questions of when and how are we going to apply all the good things we're learning in church. I mean, it's just like we're becoming fat sponges, you know? And yeah, that's why I'm sharing all this. You know, prayer matters, you know? You know, I asked, you know, Carol and I are teaching the Christian growth class right now. And don't worry, I'm not going to give you names. But their lives are just like our lives. One kid told me, I asked, okay, you got your, I'm already stopped calling it homework, because I don't want them to think that survival kit is homework. I want them to think, you know, these are awesome devotion time you spend with the Lord. And so I asked them, so have y'all done your devotion times? And one kid just thought, tell me, well, you know, Mr. Gall, I'm too busy. So I just asked them, so, son, what do you, I didn't say son, but, you know, what are you busy with? I got football. All right. Well, it's not every night, is it? He said, yes, it is. This is a fourth grade boy and having football every night. Well, can't your parents help you? Well, that can only because he's the football coach. And so, you know, and here, you know, so we need to be careful because our kids, you know that saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It really doesn't. Because our kids become what we are, you know. The good, the bad, they take it all from us. You know, they will become everything that we are. And by God's grace, I'll have grandkids one day too, if I don't kill my kids. But you know, I love my kids. I'm kidding. You know, I love my kids. They make me mad. And I punish them, but I hate it. I hate to punish them. And, okay, this last thing I want to share, because I keep sharing a lot more stories. I think the main question we need to ask, I think the main application question from all this good revival stuff we're learning is, are we right with God? I mean, when you boil everything away, you take all these nice stories away that Dr. Kip is sharing with us, all the insight God's given him about Elijah and Samson. I never saw all that before, so thank you, Dr. Gibbs. You know, this is all nice to build up our Bible knowledge and stuff, but what are we going to do with it, you know? And I think the main question is, am I right with God? Are you right with God? Because after this revival is over, I mean, guess what? Monday morning comes, 5:30 a.m., my alarm's going to ring. And I get out of bed, my feet are going to hit the floor. And am I going to say, good morning, Lord? Oh, Lord, it's morning. How am I going to respond, you know? And I hope that it's going to be, good morning, Lord. I'm ready to spend time with you. Because I tell you, my peers are too busy to spend time with the Lord. Again, I mean, I'm there too. I hate it when I have to rush through my quiet time. I hate it when I rush my kids through quiet time, you know? You guys know I'm a physical therapist. I work with elderly patients. My patients are 60, 70, 80, even 90-something. And these still got it going on. They're strong. Some of them are strong. In fact, one of my patients this week, her husband told me, they've been married 57 years. Praise the Lord. They're God-fearing, God-loving people. And every time I see them, I'm just so thankful I can know people like this, that people who value marriage, who value families. And this husband told me, you know, I don't feel like a man anymore. Because I can't do what I used to do. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I said, sir, please don't think that way. And I could talk to him like a brother in Christ. I said, sir, look at this. You just helped your wife get out of bed and into the wheelchair. You're just as much of a man today as you were 57 years ago. So don't think that way, you know. And when I work with my patients, you know, I can usually tell those who are walking with the Lord and those that don't. Because I've got to contrast that patient and that husband. I mean, they love each other. The husband's always there. They're in their 70s. He's always there. He drives his 98 Chevy Lumina, you know, and he comes in every day, you know, doesn't fail. And there's another patient I've got right now. He's a 63-year-old man. He happens to be a Jehovah's Witness. Miserable, you know. At 47, he had a heart attack. Well, I asked him, why? Why are you having heart failure? Because I'm stressed out. Well, what stresses you out? My computer job. You know, I have to do 12 projects at one time because no one else can do them. You know, he says, I've got an IQ that's over 150. I belong to the Mensa Club. Am I saying that right? The Mensa Club. never heard of that club before. I didn't know that a club for people with high IQs. Obviously, my IQ is not that high. You know, and he was just miserable. I said, sir, just tell me about your life. So he started telling me. His wife died in April. You know, he has three stepchildren. He had three stepchildren. One of them died about a year ago. So he has a stepson who he hadn't talked to in years. He has a stepdaughter that when they get together, I mean, they just talk business. And after that business is over, they just split apart. You know, there's a granddaughter in there. In our family meeting this week, the granddaughter confided to us, staff members told us that, you know, my step-grandfather told me when I was younger that I'm not good enough to be his granddaughter. This is a step-granddaughter now, okay? And she hates his guts, you know? Okay, again, why am I sharing all this? Because our faith in God matters. You know, relationships matter. You know, am I right with God? Are you right with God? That's ultimately it. Because if that relationship is not right, and everything else is not going to be right, and my Jehovah's Witness patients probably be a Jehovah's Witness. You know, I think he'll put a lot of us to shame, because are we that proud of our Christian faith that we would talk about it? He's telling me how during the Holocaust, you know, they killed witnesses, because of witnesses. You know, they had purple old brand marks on them to distinguish them from all the other groups, you know. See, a lot of witnesses died. Oh, I didn't know that. I told them, I didn't know that. You guys really stood up for your faith. And, yeah, we did. And he said, I've got good friends from the Jehovah's Witness, you know, Kingdom Hall that come to visit me, and I've got some good friends. You know, can we stand up about our Christian faith? Are we that proud that we can tell people, yeah, Christians died, you know, during the Holocaust, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer died, you know? People from my church come visit me. I don't have a family, but people from church come visit me. Are we proud about our church like this Jehovah's Witness man is, you know? And relationships matter. Even for my kid, relationships matter. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, my son, he's more sensitive than my daughter is, you know? And Jonathan, he hates being given silent treatment. Sometimes when he's bad, that's how we punish him, right, Carol? You know, we don't talk to him for a little while. Son, you know, you talk to us bad, so we're not going to talk to you right now for a few minutes. Talk to me. He hates being given his silent treatment. And you know, that's how it is with God. You know, not that God hates us, but he gives us a silent treatment too if we're not right with God. And how do I know that? It's in Psalm 66:18 that if I cherish it in my heart, the Lord will not listen. You know, yeah, we may wonder, how come my prayers aren't going anywhere? How come nothing's happening? I pray for it to pass my, for students, I pray to pass my test. And I tell my students this last week, well, you know, if you pray that prayer, you better study. God's not going to show up, you know, at 7 a.m. and all of a sudden you're going to have all this knowledge in your head. You got to study. We got to do our part too. And so we sin by not doing our part. Our part is to obey. You know, we need to obey God. God wants us to come before him every day. You know, every day. You know, I don't know about you. If I miss a day with the Lord, my day doesn't go right. You know, I'm anxious by nature anyway. I get more anxious. I get nervous. You know, my voice cracks and my mind, my thoughts aren't straight. But when I have a devotion time with the Lord, I mean, my day just goes so much better because I know who's in control and it's not me. And so for the next few moments, I just want to encourage us to think about that question. You know, am I right with God? Because after, you know, when Pastor Hibbs leaves us on Sunday after lunch, you're saying lunch, right, Dr. Hibbs? Okay, good. You have some good food. You know, after he leaves us Sunday afternoon, you know, where are we going to be? You know, I hope it's not like how we usually treat CBC events. Oh, it's a high. We get a high. I'm talking to myself too. It's a high. I learned a lot of good stuff, but how will it affect us on Monday morning when our feet hit that floor after we get out of bed? Is it going to make a difference? Am I right with God? How is this revival going to change my life? Change my life, my family's life, my home life, my neighborhood life, my school, my work, wherever you are. You know, how is it going to change your life? Because, you know, if it doesn't change us, I mean, I'm sorry. It's as if we just spent 3 days just kind of pat each other on the back saying, oh, good job, Dr. Dips. I mean, I'm sure you like hearing that, but I know he wants us too to change. You know, we all like getting compliments, you know? And so for the next few moments, you know, until 11:30, we're going to have a time of prayer. And we're going to practice, act. We're going to leave off the S today. Because, guys, we already load up God enough with our needs, okay? We need to adore Him more. We need to confess to Him more. Okay, we're not Catholics, okay? But we confess to Him directly, not through a priest. And we need to thank Him more. And you might be wondering, ask. Okay, some crafty man or woman made that up. But you know what? Jesus made that up. You know, because when I look at the Lord's Prayer, I shared this with the Awana group on Friday. You know, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, I can't even see up close anymore. You know, in those six verses, you know, half of them deal with supplication. And so if you're a logical person, you're thinking, well, let's focus on supplication. Okay, and then two of the verses deal with adoration and thanksgiving, and only one deals with confession. But you know what? Just like I said in 6:6 of Psalm 18, verse 18, that if we're not right with God, God's not going to hear us anyway. So, you know, we need to get right with God. And a wise person told me, we always have to start with adoration, because I used to think, well, let's do CAP. Why don't we do confession? Let's get it right. Just get it over with. Get confession over with. And then we can adore Him and thank Him. And you know why that doesn't work? Because the example of Isaiah, this wise person told me in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah didn't know how bad off he was until he saw God's glory. You know, we've been praising the Lord, you know, yesterday, today, you know, about how great God is. You know, do we know how great God is? You know, because we don't know how great He is, we're not going to confess to Him. It's as if, like Pastor said, you know, we may think that we're okay with God until we sin that one last time that tips us, that really where God's patience literally runs out, you know. I hope we never get to that point with God. I hope it doesn't take gouging out of eyes, you know, chaining us and being humiliated by being led by a kid. That's where you need to go. I hope it doesn't take that to humble us. There's a reason why the Bible says humble yourselves and then God. We did humble ourselves first, and God will lift us up. You know, the Bible, it doesn't say God will humble us. You know, God forbid that happens, because that's not a good place to be. When the Bible says humble yourselves, you know, it's you humble yourself. We need to get before God, allow God to humble us, you know. And then God will lift us up in due time. And so I hope that during these next few moments that we'll do that. So we will do ACT, which stands for adoration. We're going to adore Him for a few moments. And then confess. Have a private time confession. You're not going to have group confession, okay? Because you know that's a serious time. You got to get with God, get right with Him. And T is for Thanksgiving. You know, thank Him. And so I was thinking, like for the adoration, if we could break up into groups of two. I'm sorry, threes and fours, or just break up where you are, if you don't mind. So we're going to start by being together in groups of three and four people, and then. And then at the confession time, we're going to break up individually. Just feel free to spread out. Okay, whoever gets the prayer room first, that's yours, okay? Get the prayer room onto yourself. And then after we have confession time, we'll come back together and have a time of Thanksgiving, okay? And my dear wife will play some songs or play the music for three songs for us. So we're going to sing a little more. So does that make sense? And also, I asked three of you guys to pass out the papers. Adam, on that side, can you please pass out those papers? You're going to get a song sheet. Again, I'm so low-tech. I didn't have PowerPoint made up, okay? I've got a song on the sheet of paper like I did it back in the 80s. and also, you have a blank sheet of paper. So with that blank sheet of paper, you know, our memories are short, you know? And those of us who get older, you know, like myself, I mean, I'm 45. And people always tell me I'm having a senior moment or my memory's bad. I tell them no, because as you get older, you have more things to remember. You're not losing it. It's just you have too many things on your mind. You can't call it up fast enough. But you know, that's why a piece of paper is helpful. Because whatever God shows you during this prayer time, during confession time, I encourage you to please write it down. Because you know what? If you don't write it down, you're not going to remember. You know, I've been taking a lot of notes from Dr. Hibbs because I know if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember. In my profession, if you don't write it down, it's as if you didn't do it. If I don't write down my treatment, they say, no, medical say you didn't do that. Yes, I did. My soreness, my muscles are sore, my back is sore. If you don't write it down, America's going to say, no, you didn't do it. Okay? So write it down. Write down what God shows you on the sheet of paper about whatever God shows you that needs to get right with Him. Alright? And so I'll have a song sheet with you and a blank sheet of paper. Hope you have something to write with. I didn't bring anything extra to write with. So I hope you have a pen and pencil or pencil. And so Carol can come out. We're going to, in fact, as Carol's coming out, why don't y'all break up into your small groups of threes and fours? And we're going to sing together, How Great Thou Art. That great song of testing, How Great Thou Art. And just feel free, just, you know. Okay, Carol? Down, please.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Gary. Carol said, yeah.